fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much fun here. Are you kidding?
I know.
Yeah,
I
it's like, how could you not have fun?
Really.
Yeah. It's as fun as it gets here. Yeah.
Okay, so before we get rolling, if you guys wouldn't mind fully introducing yourselves, so your title, full name, each.
I'm Nikki Haas, and I'm one of the Haas brothers.
I'm Simon Haas, and I'm the other Haas brother.
Perfect. So for those unfamiliar with your work, how would you describe your creations?
Psychedelic, I guess, socially engaging, philosophical, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I would say that our work is a direct expression of what we're feeling like. We used to describe that kind of as though it was related to fashion. I don't think that's really true, but it is in a sense that we're responding to our culture and our feelings, but it's not the same kind of turnover.
It's definitely pretty insular. We spend a lot of time with ourselves in our studio and with our staff. Like, it's really a family, the way that we work inside of our studio. So it's like a very, almost like a closed system. It's like a, like an island of art. It's kind of like the Galapagos or something, where there's things that are evolving and changing, and sometimes they don't make sense outside of the studio, but inside the studio it makes a lot of sense, and I think eventually it comes around to the people that are perceiving it as well. So
That's great. So you're saying you're pretty insular. So how did you bring people with you?
We did. The Haas Brothers is actually more like a collective. I mean, it is the two of us, but we are guiding a group of young people. It's very similar to Anderson, actually, in the sense that you can, in our studio, you can just decide to make something and go for it. And our team is always being creative. They really inform a lot of our process, so to leave them behind wouldn't make any sense.
Artists in our position experience a lot of privilege, like this situation, for instance. And we just felt like just because we are the ones that started it and are at the forefront of the studio, it doesn't mean that other people inside of our community should experience the same privilege as we do and some of the same credit. So it's good. Good for them to learn here as well.
Yeah.
And they'll all have their own individual careers eventually as well. They're all really hyper-talented. So,
which we encourage.
Yeah. Oh, man. Way better to be like the person that helps somebody with their career than to be the one that's like pushing them down with your thumb so that they can keep working for you. Like,
yeah.
That's just a bummer.
Yeah. So how are you spending your time here, and how are you using the ranch?
We're both using them pretty differently. I'm pretty much strictly wood carving, and I'm spending lots of time with the three people that we brought with us. I don't know, lots of time just talking about philosophy and what it means to be an artist, and yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to work with Liz Farrell, who I know is also on the show. And she and I had an incredible rapport from the start, and I have focused completely on printmaking with her. She really pushed me. She really likes graphic work and color, which is something that I'm into also, but haven't explored that much. So she really helped me open up that part of myself, which is really cool.
Yeah, there's lots of energy, there's lots of community, there's lots of knowledge that you can draw from here very quickly. Like, we've only been here a little over 2 weeks, and it's already like another community that we've sort of dipped into, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've made, you know, lifelong friends here already, you can tell, which is great. That's more important than the work, really, is like the sort of social experience of the whole ranch and the way that it helps and develops people that are looking to make art, whether they are professional or brand new at it. It provides this venue.
Exactly. I mean, it's all about making without judgment, and that's important. It's something that I did. Like, I went to RISD, and this has a similar environment in terms of the making, but there's a lot less judgment here, and that has made it really, really cool, and I think a good experience for our team, too. Some of them didn't go to art school, and so they're getting, like, art school without the bite, the bad bite.
That's wonderful to experience.
Yeah.
In your earlier works, you were gravitating towards furniture. Can you talk chronologically about the evolution of the pieces, and now you're into 2D printmaking?
Yeah. I mean, the evolution is a little hard to describe, but we did start out as cabinet makers, and then pushed into furniture. and then just kept changing. I mean, our stuff always changes and we don't resist that. So it's hard to, it has been classically kind of hard to describe what we do in the first place. But furniture was a really good way for us to take sort of an art form that had some really established ideas, some pretty established rules, and kind of turn them on their head. So it was a fertile thing for us, a fertile avenue.
It's fun to be in a venue that is pretty conservative. Like, furniture, believe it or not, is pretty conservative. So it's not hard to add something to it that makes people go like, oh, what? Or resist it or try to make you feel like you're doing something wrong. And I think for the both of us, as soon as we feel like we've put our finger on the sore, you know, we push a little bit harder if people resist, because it's, I don't know, it's fun because it induces change. It's not about being a rebel necessarily. It's just about, like, you can find things that are completely normal and fine, but people are up in arms about it. And I think furniture was like a really good venue for that. We got a lot of resistance and we were able to move through it elegantly enough that we were able to do whatever we felt like doing. And so that was the whole point. And I guess when people talk about us maybe moving into fine art, like, fine art is just a venue that is still actually relatively conservative when it becomes a market. And so there's still a lot of resisting to do inside of that, but I don't think really either of us care, like, on a personal level, what it is that we're categorized as. It's more about harboring as much freedom as we can for ourselves and for the people that we work with, and allowing, like, the most open creative venue that we can create.
It's like what we decided to do was basically, if you showed up at Anderson Ranch and didn't want to take advantage of all of what's available to you here, we've decided to take advantage of what is available to us and just keep following all of our interests. So that's been, like, a really important part of our career.
So you're saying, like, harboring freedom is really important to you, but mm-hmm. with design there come inherent structure
yeah.
that happens, and as creators of pieces that people live with day in and day out through the furniture,
yeah.
What constitutes for you good socially responsible design?
Good socially responsible design, I think. I don't know.
Nikki knows.
I think that as long as whatever community, so take Anderson Ranch as an example. Our interaction with Anderson Ranch is sustainable, and everybody involved gets something out of it. Meaning, like, we get a lot out of it. We're happy what we're getting out of it. Anderson Ranch gets a lot out of it. I think the whole community benefits. That's, like, good, responsible, sustainable anything. I don't think it matters if it's furniture design or art or if you're, you know, making coat racks. It really doesn't matter, as long as everybody involved at the end of it feels like they're bettered for it, either monetarily, emotionally, or they've made new friends. That's really what makes responsible design, that nobody's getting taken advantage of either.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been yeah. important for us to give the part of what Nikki's saying is to give credit to everybody that we work with. I think that is the, in terms of being socially responsible, that's the most we can really do in our position, or it's a good thing we can do. And it's also a choice that a lot of artists don't make, so we make a real effort to show the world everybody that we work with. We never, you know, we've worked overseas as well, and we make a point of talking about the people that we're working with overseas, so I think that's an important thing for us.
Yeah, so like, for example, like the Afri collection,
yes.
How did you choose the women of Cape Town?
We were at a fair in Cape Town, and there was another fair going on called Indaba, and it's sort of like a design fair that's pretty strictly design. It's more like tourist trinkets and like towels
and craft.
And we came across this booth with these women. The booth's called Monkey Business, and they provide like sustainable work for women that live in the townships around Cape Town. And the truth is, like, everything inside of the Indaba Fair felt very westernized and kind of like uninteresting to us in particular, because we were looking for something very African, right? So it came with this expectation of what we were going to see. Definitely the beading booth completely fulfilled that. There were bright colors, there were lots of patterns, it was super beautiful. So, like, it came from a pretty
shallow aesthetic sort of search. And then when that caught our eye, we started talking to the women inside of the booth, and then you sort of learn the social story behind it. You learn the sustainability. We saw a lot of room for growth inside of that community, ways that we thought things could be done better, where they could actually be given more opportunity, where we could sort of add and allow a big piece of the audience that we've gotten for ourselves and apply it to these completely underprivileged people. And we saw an opportunity for them to kick ass at it, and they totally did. They knocked it out of the park. You know what I'm saying? Like people that had never been given a chance in life, that basically on some level aren't really even allowed inside of a restaurant, inside of their own community, then somehow become, you know, like celebrities inside of they're on flags inside of the town. All of a sudden they are completely flipping their reality on their heads and completely of their own. Like, I think just they needed to be told that they could do it. That's really all it took. And for some reason, as a foreigner, as an outsider, as people that in their eyes held some level of success that they admired, we were in the position to be able to give that advice and tell them that they could do it. And they totally did. So that's why we got involved. That's a long answer to that question. But I mean, that's like, it wasn't about like, yes, okay, cool. We wanted to make bright colored stuff with beads and blah, 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 whatever. But it's like the product has really nothing to do with the story. I mean, it does. It's great. You can buy a piece and you can have it. And it's like, you know, you've spent a ton of money on something, and that's really cool. And it helps fund even better, cooler projects in the future. But the social aspect of it, 100%. That's the art form in the end. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, anybody can make something aesthetically pleasing. Is that part of making art? Of course it is. And we take a lot of pride in that. But the social engagement and the fact that we were able to make a difference with them in their community, that they opened their arms to us and vice versa, and we learned so much from each other, that was really the work of the project.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think part of another aspect of that project was to take craft, which... as I was saying earlier, furniture has a lot of rules. Craft also has a lot of rules. Furniture is generally perceived to be a rung below art, and I think craft is like another rung below in the general perception. So we decided to take beads, which are like as crafty as it gets, and try to put them into a major institution. So we took crafting, like, you know, craft beads and the women who make craft beads, and tried to show by putting this in the Cooper Hewitt that it isn't such a low form actually. So I think that was a big aspect of the project as well.
They're very intriguing pieces. They're
thank you.
Really cool.
Thanks a lot.
I think the power of them, the reason they're intriguing, it's yes, it's the aesthetic, but that you can actually feel that there was a lot of joy in making them. Mm-hmm. Everybody involved, like, if you're enjoying making something, you'll just make it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how the aesthetic improved from that. It was, again, really all about the social aspect of the project.
Yeah.
100%.
That's great. I'm going to ask you, just because we only have so much time.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
I'm going to ask you just two more questions, and they're fairly open-ended, so answer them however you would like. Is there something that you hope that each and every observer takes away from your work?
Ooh.
I just hope they feel inspired to either make work themselves or feel like on some level they feel changed. Or maybe not even changed, maybe even just re-bolstered in something that they feel really avidly about. I want it to just have a general positive effect, 100%.
I want people to see our work and realize, like I was just saying, that beads are not a low art form. Or any of those things. When I was listening actually to Liz Ferrell's interview, she talked about how she had been lambasted for making a single color background on her paintings, which I actually did also in school, and that's really funny. But what I would like is for a student to see our work and realize that maybe this rule that they've been taught is a little more malleable than they thought.
Those are great. And then the last one is just strictly, excuse me, is there anything else you would like to add, anything you'd like to cover, you'd like the people of Aspen, Snowmass, and the Valley to know?
I love it here. Anderson is amazing. And it's really worth inserting yourself into a community of people who have a similar desire to make something, but that's all they have in common. So that's a really cool thing to experience.
I don't know. I'd say come check. I mean, if you haven't already checked out Anderson Ranch, you should come check it out. It's a really special place. That's what I would say.
It's perfect. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, of course.
This was great. Thank you.
That was fun. No problem.